To say that Halloween in Salem, Massachusetts is a big deal is, well, it is a terrifying understatement. But this year, like everything else, it's also different. The mayor has urged people to stay away, and indoor haunted attractions are not allowed to open. For haunted house owners like Skip Dillon, that means a major loss of income. We caught up with Skip, the president of Wicked Amusements and the Chambers of Terror in Salem, as part of our ongoing series, Living Through Corona. And I asked him when he got the news that he wouldn't be able to open at all this year.
Much too late in the season, to be honest with you. We had been prepping for most of the summer for COVID protocols, assuming that we'd be opening our establishment under the recreation and amusement guidelines that the state had laid out earlier in the shutdown. Unfortunately, after expending a lot of time, money, and effort to make sure that we'd be able to open and still deliver a good show while also keeping guests and the employees safe, at about mid-September, September 15th, in fact, we found out that the state was classifying us as a live performance venue, and we would not be able to open, nor would any other indoor haunted attraction in Massachusetts. And as you can imagine, in Mass especially, finding out in mid-September that you're not going to be opening a attraction that makes all of its money in the 1 month of October came as a big shock to us.
So I wonder if I can imagine that. I mean, take me to that moment. What ran through your mind in that moment of shock?
Initially, there is that moment where you feel like the floor fell away. We have a small attraction. It does not generate a huge profit margin. It's a labor of love for myself and the other employees that make it happen each year for the tourists that come through Salem and want to have some scary fun. And so the financial numbers start pouring through your head of, you know, is this going to bankrupt us? Is it going to bankrupt me because I'm personal guarantor on the lease? You know, how are we going to maintain through to next year? Will we be able to recoup the loss? Can we recoup the loss and even, you know, keep the doors open and the bills paid until the following season? But ultimately, I'm also a very objective guy. And I realize that the state and now the city of Salem itself are in a very difficult position in that they have to put the public health before everything else. And so that means trying to stop Salem, which normally has tens of thousands of visitors per day during the month of October, from becoming a super spreader event, the likes of Sturgis or any of the other, you know, events that have occurred and that we've seen news coverage of during this COVID pandemic. And so while on a personal level, it certainly rocked my world a little bit, the objective, decent, socially minded person in me says, well, you know what, at the end of the day, it's only money, it's only credit, it's only business. And you levy that up against people's lives, well, you know, there's no comparison there. The scales are always going to fall in favor of the lives of people and the health of the public.
You know, I appreciate that you were able to kind of keep that whole picture in your head. For a second, I want to note for listeners that Sturgis is the biker rally that happened in South Dakota and led to quite a bit of virus spread after the fact. So you're keeping all of this in your head, Skip, and you're trying to make sense of it. What happened when you had to tell your employees?
My employees, fortunately, are seasonal employees. At a haunted attraction, for the most part, nobody is banking on that seasonal income. And so it's more of an emotional reaction, similar to a theatrical, familial group of people that really take a great amount of pride and are emotionally committed to delivering a show each year. That's the rug that kind of got pulled out from underneath of them. But it looks like we're going to be able to do it next year. And so we'll stick around and we'll make it work. And everybody stays safe until then.
You had mentioned to one of our producers that there was some kind of sense of moral relief in not having the option to reopen, which kind of makes sense to me. Can you talk a little bit about that moral relief? And did it also have to do with fear about getting sick yourself, or your employees getting sick, or your customers getting sick?
I think that certainly the fact that every business, every public-facing business that's out there serves as a potential vector for contagion of this terrible disease always weighs in the back of the head of anybody that owns a retail operation. And so while we were preparing for what we assumed would be our opening this season, we were going above and beyond installing plexiglass barriers and getting atomized fog-style disinfectant machines put in and purchasing N95 masks for all the employees, and taking all these measures to reduce the likelihood of contagion, you always know in the back of your head that nothing is 100%. And even while driving into Salem during the late summer and seeing that there were still crowds in Salem, masked crowds of tourists and visitors wandering around, it was a strange place to be in, and mixed feelings and emotions for me, because on the one hand, that was giving me some financial and fiscal hope for what the season might do for us. But on the other hand, there's the question of, why are all you people out here gathering in crowds when there's a pandemic going on? And do I really want to be potentially part of anyone getting sick, anyone spreading that illness, and in the worst and most tragic cases, somebody dying from that illness? And I have people who work for me in other ventures that have had family members pass from this. So as you said, the emotional relief of being told that you can't open that that 100% I can turn and say, well, you know what? Nobody's going to get sick from my business this year, and nobody's going to, end up in a hospital or possibly pass because I needed to make my money, is something that, I cling to, and it makes me feel like I'm doing the right thing.
You said you're going to be able to bring it back next year. How are you going to pull that off? How are you making that work?
I'm not going to say by hook or by crook, because certainly not by crook, but I will live like a pauper for the next year and keep the rent paid and the utilities running. And assuming that we're in a place where, promising vaccines and therapeutics reach a point where people are able to go out somewhat unfettered, I think that next year you're going to have the pendulum swing back in the other direction, where everybody's going to want to get out and do as many activities as possible that they couldn't do in 2020. And I think that we'll have a banner year because of that.
Skip, I had kind of a sucker punch moment earlier today. In preparing to talk with you, I went back and listened to this wonderful conversation that we had on air with you and another guest almost exactly a year ago about why people want and need to be scared. And in listening to it today, we're laughing and we're joking and we have no idea what's coming just a couple months later. And I got to thinking, as we were talking about why people like to be scared, is our relationship with fear going to change in some fundamental way now that we have lived through or are living through the kind of pandemic that used to only be in movies or haunted houses?
It's important to differentiate the type of fear that we're talking about. For entertainment purposes, fear is generally a startle, a quick dose of the unexpected, something to get your blood pumping and get your adrenaline to spike. And then you immediately have the rational part of your brain that takes over, that reminds you, hey, I'm not actually at risk. And with that comes that cathartic release where you laugh at yourself afterwards and you smile. And that stands in contrast to things that cause an actual fear and a dread of something that can really do damage or that could possibly harm you, and that's what we're dealing with right now. So do I think that people are not going to want those fun type of scares anymore? No, I don't believe that, because everybody's still watching horror movies in the midst of this pandemic. And, and for the haunted attractions that are allowed to be open right now, some of my cohorts up in New Hampshire, for example, and in other states, or outdoor attractions that have been allowed to be open in Massachusetts, the people are coming out in droves. So I question certainly the wisdom of any crowd event at this point in time, because I'm listening diligently to what the scientists and medical professionals are telling us. But the sociological take on it and psychological take is that I think that people will still want the entertaining type of fear. They're just getting really tired of being afraid of something that's invisible that is putting their lives in a tailspin.
You are a Halloween pro. Many people are mourning not being able to have a traditional Halloween this year. What is your advice for those people about how to still love the holiday this year?
Well, we're in a place and time where we have instantaneous access to more Halloween-related media than ever before. We also have the ability, certainly, to decorate our homes and our yards to a degree that didn't exist when I was growing up. I can tell you that if you had asked the 18-year-old version of me when I first got into building haunted attractions, if there would ever be a time where you could go and purchase a 9-foot skeleton prop from Home Depot, I would have told you that you were out of your mind. So there are certainly a myriad number of socially responsible ways that people can still celebrate the holidays, and they can socially network remotely. They can spend time with their family in the home, and build their own little haunted nooks and attractions in their front yard, and stay safe until next year.
And that's Skip Dillon, president of Wicked Amusements and Chamber of Terror in Salem. Skip, thanks for sharing your story with us today.
Always. And happy Halloween!